Oh, good morning, everyone. I was a bit nervous about coming over here, so I brought 11 people with me to hold my hand. And I am wearing my work boots too, my best work boots, of course. I just noticed the sign before. Now, I want you to imagine with me that this hall is a great big ship. And we're all sitting in rows on the upper deck, and we can see the ocean all around us. It's the biggest and the flashiest ship ever built in the history of mankind. It's pretty amazing. There are thousands and thousands of people on board. It's huge. And we are very slowly crossing the South Pacific Ocean. So that means most of the time, we're surrounded by thousands of kilometers of open ocean with no land in sight. And everything is great, everything is fine. There's just one teensy-weensy little problem. You know that this ship is going to sink. You don't know when, but you know that it will. And of course, there's one more teensy-weensy little problem. There are no lifeboats. Not one. No lifeboats, no nothing. So when the ship sinks, everyone will drown. So nobody knows about this. Not one person knows the ship is going to sink except you. You are the one person that knows. So, what are you going to do? Will you tell everyone that the ship is going to sink one day? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's brand new. It's just been built. If you told them, they wouldn't believe you, would they? I mean, come on. This ship is the most technologically advanced human creation in the history of mankind. What could possibly go wrong? If you did tell them, you would probably just end up getting embarrassed and you wouldn't achieve a single thing, except that everyone would think you were nuts and they'd talk about you behind your back. And you know, it might get worse. They might even laugh in your face and say, what? Is an asteroid from space going to crash into it and sink it? Or, oh, no. A really big fish might hit it with its head. Or, hey, Nathan, you better get some drink bottles and drink all the water and then screw on the caps tight and hold on to them so they can help you float. So, here you are. You know, this ship that we're all in, that everybody's in, thousands and thousands of people, this ship is going to sink, and everyone is going to drown. What are you going to do? Well, you could follow my good example, of course. I'll show you what to do. It's easy. Just act like everybody else. So you look around and see, what's everybody else doing? They're all sitting down in rows, and I'm the only one standing up. Oh dear, so you do this. Right, I'll keep going now. Don't tell anybody that the ship's going to sink. Act like everyone else. Do what everyone else is doing, and you won't stand out one little bit. Everyone will accept you just like one of them. And then, this is what you do. Every now and then, when nobody is looking, sneak off by yourself for a while. Or, if you can't sneak off without people noticing you because you're, you know, standing up the front and everybody's looking at you, then you've got to make an excuse so no one thinks anything of it. Now there's one, I've got one really good one up my sleeve, it works every time. Alright, start jiggling a bit and you're talking
go. Sorry, guys. I'll be back in just a minute.
You race off, and they all think that you've gone to do something that you actually haven't. Now, however you do it, sneak off, disappear, make sure nobody suspects a thing, and build yourself a lifeboat. That way, when the ship sinks, you will be saved. Now that is a genius plan, isn't it? It won't be quite that easy though, because there are so many people on board, there isn't much room on this ship. They don't seem to build these ships with much spare space these days. So you're going to have to find a tiny little cupboard somewhere, hopefully with a lock on the door, that nobody else uses and that nobody's ever going to look inside. And after that, you're going to have to scrounge up little bits of wood and plastic and foam and find anything that floats. And some glue and some rope and some string and whatever else they build boats out of. Don't take anything that anyone's going to notice has gone missing, because they might come looking for it and discover what you're doing, and you know. And over time, gather little bits and pieces and you can put them together over time to build your lifeboat. Now, because you're going to have to hide what you're doing and build it in a tiny little cupboard, there's only just enough room to build a lifeboat to hold one person. And that's you, of course. But that's okay, because you're the only person that knows you're going to need one. Because nobody else will believe you, even if you did tell them, will they? Will they? Well, you know, everybody's life on this ship that we're on is very, very busy. There's always something going on, something to do, something to take up your time. Come on, Nathan, let's go and watch this terrible, horrible, violent movie with us tonight. Oh, guys, look, sorry, I can't. I've really got to, I've got to go and tidy my cabin. It's really messy. And so off you sneak by yourself and build a little bit more of your little personal lifeboat. Nathan, come to this wild party tonight and get drunk with us all. It's going to be great. Oh, I can't. I've got to go home and tidy my... Oh, no, I mean, I'm too tired. I've got to have a sleep. I used that other excuse last time. And off I sneak and build a tiny bit more of my little personal lifeboat. And nobody knows a single thing about it. Nobody knows the ship is going to sink. Nobody has the faintest clue that you're secretly sneaking off to build your little lifeboat. Now really, if you were on a ship that was going to sink and nobody knew but you, could you imagine sneaking off by yourself very quietly to build your own little one-man lifeboat without even warning anybody else that this ship is going to sink and you're all going to die? Could you do that? It doesn't feel really good in here, does it? Just a bit. You know, the Bible has something to say about that. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 6 says, if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. So the person that dies because the watchman didn't warn him will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Ooh. Now, you don't live on a ship, do you? It was a great story. You live right here on planet Earth, and you know that one day this whole world is going to be destroyed. You don't know when, but you know it's going to happen. 2 Peter 3 verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Could you go to school every day? Could you go to work every day? Maybe you go to one of those weird little mothers with babies groups. Could you go to all those things and not say a word to anyone? Could you pretend that you were just like everybody else and you thought the world would just go on forever? Could you do that every single day of your life? Do you? Do you sneak off to serve God without anyone knowing? Easy to do. Do your friends know? Do your workmates know? Do they really know what you believe and how important it is to you? Or did you mention it to them once, kind of like mumbling under your breath so they couldn't really hear what you said anyway? Or do they know you go to church, but you pretend it's not important at all because you're afraid of what they might think about you? You know, there's a really easy solution for that in the workplace I figured out for myself. You can start your own business and employ Christadelphians. Problem solved. And then just don't ever go anywhere else and you're fine. Could you sneak off to church every Sunday? To Bible class, to CYC, to sisters class, to whatever else happens. Could you read your Bible every day, believe in God, and know that one day Jesus is coming back and everyone who is not ready will die? Could you know that and not warn people? I could. Could you go through your life building your tiny little lifeboat in your tiny little closet to make sure that nobody knows who you really are or what you really believe? You know, I can look back over my life and I can really hang my head in shame at some of the things I have said, or some of the things I haven't said, or the way I have said kind of the right words, but in a way that gives a different message because I'm afraid of what people will think. Like this. Someone says, "Hey Nathan, what did you do on the weekend?" "Oh yeah, we had a weekend at church. The speaker came down from Auckland and he gave all these presentations about what happened in the last 2 days of Jesus' life, just before he was crucified on the cross, etc., etc." Now that really says, "Hey guys, I believe this, I'm interested in this, and it's a very important part of my life." Or I can still sort of, you know, say it kind of. "Nathan, what'd you do on the weekend?" "Oh, you know, I spent most of it at this thing at church." "Yeah, well, what'd you guys get up to?" "Oh, you went fishing. Oh, I love fishing. Yeah. There was this time I went out on a boat from Whangamatar. We hired a little charter cruise boat thing and I was seasick the whole day and I spewed non-stop. It was fantastic." And that says, "Well, yeah, I went to church on the weekend, but I'd rather go fishing." Or they say, "Nathan, what did you do on the weekend?" And I say, "Oh yeah, not much, eh?" And quickly change the topic onto something else. Otherwise I might ask more questions. Well, they can say, "Nathan, come and watch this mean-ass movie with us tonight. It's violent, full of immorality and murder and all this terrible stuff. It's going to be great. Starts at 7:30. "Oh no, guys, look, I'm really tired. I've got to have an early night. Sorry, guys." Or I say, "Oh, guys, look, sorry, I've got this church thing on tomorrow. I'd love to come with you, but I really have to go to this church thing. Yeah, sorry." Or could I say, "You guys know I believe in God, right? Well, God says very plainly in the Bible that he doesn't want me to watch that kind of thing and be involved in that kind of thing. And, you know, I don't want to fill my head with that kind of stuff. And anyway, we've actually got a Bible study class at church tonight and I'd actually rather go to that, to be honest. Sorry." Now, That might sound a bit cheesy, but it's the best I can do. I'm sure you get the idea. And one day, I'll try and answer like that and see how it feels. So, really, you can see here I'm not talking about preaching from the rooftops or standing up in the lunchroom at school or the lunchroom at work or university to proclaim the word of God in a big booming voice through a megaphone. Or I'm not even talking about going overseas on big long preaching missions for 3 months or 6 months or 12 months. I just lost my place. Oh, there. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, before people are going to ask you for the reason for the hope that you have, they've got to be able to see that you've got a hope in the first place, don't they? Otherwise, they're never going to ask, why do you think that? Why do you believe that? We have to make sure that we're making it obvious that we do have a hope and that we really believe it and that we're living it and that it's a big, important part of our lives every single day. Now, that might sound like a really big thing to do, but actually, I'm not even talking about changing our lives at all. You know, when I write an exhort, it's always about something I need to hear, so I'm actually talking to myself probably more than you guys, to be honest. I want to encourage myself, and I want to encourage all of you to keep on living our lives just like we do anyway, just like we know God wants us to, but just make it obvious. Make sure that we make it obvious to everyone around us so they can see what we're doing. Make sure they know why that we're doing it. And if everyone thinks that we're exactly the same as every other person in the world, they're never going to ask us to give our reason for the hope that we have, are they? So, if you're doing that already, great, fantastic, keep it up. I think this is a very, very important part of letting our light shine. You might not feel like you're doing much because you're not going way out of your way on a big preaching campaign. You know, when you go outside in the dark and turn on a light, what happens? Well, the moths come out of the darkness and they're drawn to the light. So we don't necessarily have to be always going out there hunting for the moths, but if our light is always on, one day a moth is going to come flying past and go, "Ooh, that looks good, I need that." So if you're already doing this, keep it up, keep doing it. If you're not, this is all you have to do. Just keep on living your life the way that God wants you to. The way you are anyway. But just make sure that the people you see every day know that you believe in God and that God is the reason for who you are and that God is very important to you. Not just this religious thing that stops you doing all the fun things that you wish you could. And I know that in my life I have made it sound like that many, many times. The people around you will see that you're different, and one day someone who God has called will notice you and think, "Wow, he's got something, there's something he's got that I want. I feel like I'm missing something that he's got. I wonder what it is. What makes him different?" And they'll ask you, "Why are you the way you are?" And then you can tell them. And they might be interested, or they might not be. But without going to hardly any more effort than just our daily lives, we can plant the seed every single day. Just just by making sure everybody knows who we are and what we do. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. So serve God, obviously, and in the open. Ooh. Now, I said this to the Hamilton Ecclesia, so no offence. I said, a few people might laugh or think you're odd, but don't worry, because I think you're a little bit odd anyway, and it's not because you believe in God. And to be honest, most people actually don't care that you believe in God. They go, huh, okay. And life goes on as normal. Because Matthew 7 verse 13 says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many people who go in by it. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So I have no doubt that most people think you're wasting your time, that you're on the world's most advanced ship ever, and you're building a lifeboat. What a nutter. But every now and then, someone will notice you. They'll notice what you're doing. It'll make them think about your life. And they'll think about their own life and maybe what they're missing. Maybe about what's coming in the future. Now, I have made it sound. Like, I think everyone's hiding away in a cupboard, which I know is not true, so sorry if I come across like I'm telling you all off. You can tell me all off later. Really what I want to say is that we can easily think that because we're not going away on big preaching efforts, that we're not letting our light shine at all. But I think it's just as important to let our light shine every single day in our daily lives. So what I want to say this morning is keep it up. Keep your light shining. Keep on living your life honestly and openly as a believer in God, as a follower of God. Show everyone by who you are and by what you do that God is a very important part of your life. So I could stop there and just sit down, but there's something I want you to do. So listen to this. I have a challenge for you, for all of you. Those under 3 are exempt. If you're over 3, this is for you. This week, when you go from here, make no secret of the fact that you believe in God. When those glaringly obvious moments come up, rather than kind of taking that step back and going and keeping quiet, say, yes, I'm one of them, or yes, I believe in God, don't you? Or say, no, look, I really don't want to do that, because you see, maybe I'm not doing a good job, but I am trying to live my life like I know God wants me to. Just make sure this week that everyone knows God is the reason for who you are and for how you live. Don't pretend it's a terrible burden simply because you're afraid of what people will think. Because they might think you're weird for living like this, right? Make it obvious to everyone that you deal with every day that you have chosen this path. You have purposefully gone out of your way to choose to be like this because you strongly believe that your path is the right one. So, really, again, that might sound hard, but all I'm saying is be yourself. Do what you do every day. Just don't build your lifeboat hidden away in a closet. Do it in the open so everyone can see what you're doing and know why you're doing it. And then, without even having to go out of your way, one little step, you can let your light shine. And every now and then, someone will notice the way that you live your life. And they'll stop and really think about their own life. And maybe they'll ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.